It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Welcome into the show. Sean is back here with us, looking resplendent. He's got his Texas Rose Bowl hat from when they beat USC. He's got a sexy shirt on. It's a good weekend to be a Longhorn. I don't know what else happened in your life. To be honest, I'm not going to ask. But as far as what's pertinent to this show, you showed up on time, so I imagine you're life was good enough for that to happen.
Yep.
And you've
no
got
visible bruising or
didn't see any of that. Yeah. And your favorite college football team and alma mater gets a big win.
Yeah.
I don't know that I had a real feel on that game. I just went with vibes and picked Texas. It just felt like this was a game they had to win, and they did it. We'll get into that as we get on with the show. So Texas gets the win. You've got the big firing in Happy Valley, as James Franklin goes. And that was just part of the college football weekend that we'll talk about. When we were on talking to you guys on Friday, I discussed kind of the viewing guide, not just what you were going to be able to watch because the Texans weren't on, maybe who you should be rooting for. If you are locked in on what needs to happen for the Texans to get back in the playoff race, that's really only 6 weeks old. So the games, we had the Jags lose to the Seahawks. That was predictable. I mean, the Seahawks are a good football team. I'm still not sure that the Jags are a good football team. So they go in there and win. It was a close game, well-played game, at least well-contested game. But the Seahawks pull that one out. So that helps the Texans. Everything besides that, if we're doing that thing, didn't get a lot of help. The fact that the Chiefs could have their best performance of the year against a competent football team. We're going to leave what they did to the Ravens off the board. We've discussed that ad nauseum, that beating the Ravens this year doesn't mean very much. But they went on Sunday night. I thought the Lions would go in there and win that game. I just didn't think the Chiefs, and this was just me missing that one. I didn't think the Chiefs would win that football game. I thought the Lions were going good. I thought they could run the ball a little bit and put up some points, and the Chiefs responded, and I guess that's what we should expect. So that happened. We had the late win for the Chargers. That doesn't help, thanks to the Ladd McConkey play. And, of course, the Patriots going to New Orleans and beat the Saints, which was predictable. So as it stands now, you're two games out. You're behind the Patriots who had the last playoff spot if we're doing that. So the weekend was fun without Texas football. Not a lot of anxiety if the games make you nervous, but you would have hoped that some of these teams in AFC would have lost. I don't know that there's a worse team in football than the Jets, though. That's a tough look because we know the NFL wants to put a team over there or at least have a game over there every week. I would suggest any team led by Justin Fields just gets banned. If I'm the Europeans, no more. The Jets logo or the fact that Justin Fields is the quarterback of any team, that's not for us. You keep your net minus 10 yards passing off our shores. Look, guys, we've come together after all our skirmishes back in the 16 and 1700s and 1800s, but at this point, we're unified in this. No Justin Fields on our shores. Keep that guy out of our stadiums. If he wants to visit, that's cool, But if he's but if he is in is doing something because he's employed yeah. and he's working, no, we don't want him over here anymore. And it's I won't even call it the luck of the draw because putting the Jets over there,
no,
it was always going to be bad, no matter who's the quarterback. Yeah. But with Justin Fields, you know that's a bad experience for anyone attending.
Yeah, there really should be some sort of like. I'm not saying you need to send Chiefs Lions over there.
Yeah, you might want to keep that game over here.
I get it. But we got to do better than the Jets. We just have to do better.
And forget about the Europeans. If I'm going to get up and watch a standalone football game on a Sunday morning, I don't want to sit through a Justin Fields led team. I know it's not going to be good.
Even like the second half of that game, like you're just like I normally for the Lundy games, like I don't change my routine. I'm like, I'll just catch the second half of this game.
That's, sure.
For the quality of game they're putting out there, that's mostly fine. This would be a buried noon slate game if it wasn't played at 8:30 in the morning here. So I'm just like, yeah, I'll catch up in the second half. I woke up, saw the score of this game, went, nah, I don't need eyes on this one. I think there's a safety involved. I'm good.
You know,
it's like 11-10 Justin, or something.
Like, Justin Fields takes the attention because of how bad he was, but I'm not sure I'm looking for a Bo Nix game at this point. The Broncos have a good defense. Their offense even gave up 2 points, and they still found a way to win that game 13-11. But this version of Bo Nix feels, at least in what I saw yesterday, well, that's the Auburn Bo Nix. That's the Bo Nix I remember. Now, that's, you look, he had a good rookie year, but Sean Payton's been babying him for now the better part of, what was it, 18 games last year because they made the playoffs, now another six. 24 games Bo Nix had the training wheels on. And to be fair, when it's Justin Fields on the other side, just don't screw it up.
Yeah.
The Broncos offense tried. They gave away 2 points, but they did just enough to stay at four, to get to 4-2.
I mean, they beat the Justin Fields Jets 13-11.
Yeah, what are we doing?
like that, that's bad.
The Jets give up points, too.
Yeah. No, I mean.
These are the point totals for the Jets given up. 34, 30. 29, 27, 37. The Broncos are like, let's go for 13. Let's go for 13. It was enough.
Conversion rate. That is 30 American points, but this game is in London, so it's only 13.
Do we have the stronger dollar, or do they have is the pound stronger?
I have no idea.
There's
no way of me
knowing. What's the conversion rate for points? Does like 13 mean 27 over there?
Yeah, that's like 28.
Yeah, what does it mean?
Because they're not used to competent teams that run good. I don't know. What was last week's? I feel like they're all like.
It was wasn't it Vikings?
Vikings-Browns.
Browns? Yeah. Jesus.
Carson Wentz versus
Dylan Gabriel.
21-17. So, yeah.
It's an upgrade.
They're not used to. Dublin got 24-21. Even that's like. Take it easy. These guys are new here, all right?
Hey, relax. Let's not overwhelm them.
Let's not blow their minds.
Yeah, hey, Jordan Addison, if you could run faster and get in the end zone instead of being tackled at the one, who knows how that game goes. But, hey, yeah, the Dubliners got a much better performance, and they got to beat up Skylar Thompson. So,
who doesn't want
to? If you don't remember that, Skylar Thompson, the third-string quarterback, the emergency quarterback for the Steelers, got jumped in Ireland.
By the way, that happened, a week before the Mark Sanchez thing? This is not me casting aspersions on Skylar Thompson. This is just out of the duty. Did we get the full story on the Skylar Thompson thing? Like, did he actually just get jumped, or was there some elements of provocation?
You think it's being buried by the NFL or the London police?
Yeah, I don't know.
The Dublin police.
It's a convenient story for, these hooligans to be out there
Skylar Thompson, he didn't get any T's and P's because we were told immediately he was fine.
Yeah.
He's already recovering with the team, but.
But yeah. I just, what did he say? That's all I want. I just want the
what did he say?
The transcript of 5 minutes before he got beat up.
Do we think he was targeted, or did Skylar Thompson, was he drunk, knowing he wasn't going to play the next day and decided he had some stuff to say to someone?
Was he just sitting out there at the bar being like, I know, I never play, but I get paid six figures. And they're like, American?
American dollar? Yeah. I mean,
what's the conversion rate?
I'm glad you're drawing up scenarios where Skylar Thompson is at fault, or at least he brought it on himself.
I mean, just with recent, I'd say subpar quarterbacks,
NFL quarterbacks, yeah,
getting beat up. I think it's a fair question. Yeah. I just want to know the whole story.
It is, we didn't get.
I don't want to get caught up like Ryan Clark making an apology every 2 weeks
for no reason.
Yes, on the 1st and 15th, Ryan Clark gets paid and makes an apology.
We should wait for more information. I don't think the NFL.
I just want to circle back. Do we have any more information on Skylar Thompson? Okay if we don't.
I don't think the NFL is going to give us any. I think that it's just going to be laid down as Skylar Thompson got beat up, and thankfully he's recovering.
Took a drink and, this Guinness sucks, and then got beat up.
Those are words that could get you beat up. I don't know. I'm just going to go that it wasn't his fault until proven otherwise, because I don't know. I don't know who the assailants are. There's no one for me to blame anyway.
Yeah, okay. T's and P's.
Yeah.
To an emergency quarterback.
No one gave him T's and P's, because it was initially reported that he'll be fine. So no one had to.
Pelissero, milk it a little bit.
They were saving it up for Sanchez. and then look what happened.
Yeah. Whoops.
Keith, I see you want to talk some college football. You a Florida State fan, if I remember correctly?
No, Vandy.
No, he's a Vandy honk. He's not a fan. He came on here and said.
No, that's Julian.
Julian's a Florida State fan.
I guess it's possible.
I feel like Keith called in during their 2023 year talking about the Noles. I don't remember talking about them Noles. We'll see. We'll see what he wants to talk about. It's a big college football weekend. In fact, I'm watching the number one team in the country dismantle Illinois in a replay. Ohio State just suffocates people, and they did that to Illinois. So we'll get to the college football weekend, more NFL. We know the Astros fired a lot of people on Thursday. One of them was Alex Cintron. Well, there's research that shows you one of the reasons why the Astros, not great when it comes to exit velo, which is a thing you see on television every time someone hits the ball hard. Apparently, the Astros, one of the worst in baseball. And in fact, we'll talk about that at some point, along with the rest of the NFL schedule. The Rockets didn't have anything going on over the weekend, so we're just waiting for the regular season. That's what everyone's doing right now. Keith, I see you. Anyone else want to follow him at 713-780-3776? It's myself and Sean. Till noon, we will be back.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 and HD, 97.9 HD2.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So we're going to get to Keith here, but we were talking about Mark Sanchez and how down he, or at least in comparison to Skylar Thompson and quarterbacks just getting, well, really having bad weekends.
Yeah.
Bad weekends.
It's just the fact that we never got the full story on
about Skylar Thompson. While
we've gotten updates every day.
Well,
from
it just speaks Mark to the Sanchez. Importance of one quarterback and in comparison to the other. Well, Mark Sanchez, if you missed it, was out of the hospital, did get booked, and he had like an arm sling on. He was with his lawyer. And my first thought watching the video was like, when you're the lawyer of someone who makes as dumb a mistake as Mark Sanchez does, kind of changes the trajectory of his post-football career, do you comment on how dumb it is, or do you just keep it to yourself? Like, if you're Mark Sanchez's friend / lawyer, do you hit Mark? What the F are you doing? What are we doing here? Or as a lawyer, do you just go, just defend my client? I don't make morality judgments on them.
Job.
Yeah, I don't say anything to him. Imagine you're the lawyer of Mark Sanchez. I'm not sure if he's based out of California. That's where he's from. That's where he played his college ball. If you get a call from Mark, and Mark Sanchez feels like the guy who had hired as one of his modern day buddies as his lawyer. He just feels like that type. Does he get a call middle of the night? Hey, man, really screwed up here. What'd you do, Mark? What'd you do?
Well, I'm in Indianapolis.
I'm in the I'm in the hospital.
Crime-riddled Indianapolis?
Yeah.
Is what the lawyer from L.A. says?
Yeah, him and Dan Dockage. Yeah. He's in the hospital. Mark, are you okay? Not really, but I got bigger problems than being in the hospital. I got charged with beating up a 69-year-old man. And as the guy going, damn it, Mark, not again. I just think about his lawyer. I don't know. If I'm the lawyer, I'm like, what are we doing? We're on Easy Street. Just call the fourth game on Fox and don't screw it up.
Yeah. I thought I was just going to have to every once in a while draft an apology letter for something you say on Fox.
Possibly.
I was like, maybe I do that once every 5 years and the rest, I'm just on retainer, buddy, with Mark Sanchez. Nope.
Instead, I got to take a red eye to Indianapolis.
I have a camera in front of my face.
Yeah.
And Mark Sanchez in a sling.
So I feel much worse. In order of people I feel bad for, the person that Mark Sanchez attacked, his lawyer, Skylar Thompson, and then way down there, Mark Sanchez, because of how bad he screwed up.
Okay.
But here's Mark Sanchez, and he's going to sound somber, and rightfully so. Here's Mark Sanchez in his first words after being booked and released.
I just want to thank Dr. Mosler, the surgeon. She saved my life, so I'm grateful for that. Sorry, I can't answer earlier.
Are you feeling any better?
Thank you, guys.
I'm recovering slowly. Man.
Appreciate it.
Take long care. Process. Sorry,
doctor. So you heard him thank his doctor. Apparently, the doctor saved his life. That is good. Then he heard someone, hey, you feeling better? Like, no, not.
I'm like a week out of saved my life.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I feel better than I did that night.
Yeah.
But as you heard him say, it's a long process.
It is a long process.
I'm glad no one's dying from this, something that's completely avoidable. I just think the guy most hurt as far as when we were told stabbing, you think Mark Sanchez is hurt really badly, and if the doctor saved his life, then apparently the initial reporting about what happened is maybe closer to the truth than us joking about it. He said the doctor saved him, but we saw the pictures of the other guy, the 69-year-old driver, and from all accounts, Mark Sanchez brought this on himself. So while I don't wish injury on anyone, completely avoidable, and when you're the assailant, you got to work up the sympathy as opposed to it coming.
It's a long process to heal from the.
You know, I'm working on it.
It's a long.
I'm glad he is out of a hospital bed. We'll see how the justice system treats him, because now it's up to a felony. So who knows how long that court process will be, and combining that with his recovery time. So let's hope. Let's hope drunkenness doesn't lead to something awful, but we know it is. We know it's alcohol, no surprise, was the culprit. And we'll find out if there's anything more to it. But right now, all we know is Mark Sanchez is facing some serious issues health-wise and legal-wise. All right, let's get to Keith. He wants to talk some college football. What's up, Keith?
Hey, guys. Love the show. Casually in the first segment, Sean just saying he just wakes up after 10 a.m. is wonderful to catch the Jets-Broncos game. You are right, Dale. 2023, I was high on Florida State. They went undefeated, and then I agree with the committee's decision. You know, without Travis, they should not have made the playoff despite 13-0. I didn't have a team last year that I jumped on the bandwagon. This year, obviously, Vanderbilt 5-1 bye week, so they didn't lose yesterday, which is good. Two segments on Mark Sanchez and Skylar Thompson is outrageous, but my question is,
it's a bye week.
James Franklin's out. Is there a better chance that he gets kind of a 1 year deal with, you know, Big Noon Kickoff or College Game Day, or does he's too talented of a coach. Obviously he's got a lot of money, takes a Russell Wilson type 1 year deal for free and goes to, you know, Arkansas, UCLA, Virginia Tech, Oregon State, Oklahoma State, Stanford, one of these schools, you know, Michigan State probably needs to fire their coach. Do you think Franklin's goes right back into coaching next year, or is he going a Big Noon Kickoff for College Game Day? Thanks, guys.
He called in and complimented the show and then push back on what this show's all about. What's that about, Keith? It wasn't two full segments.
I'm starting to feel like when they say love the show, that's just filler for
to get okay, to your point.
Let me get to what I want to say.
Yeah. Yeah. It is
love the show. Today's show, though, a lot of backup quarterback talk, which is fair. Because we also talked about Justin Fields and Bo Nix.
But at least we're talking about football at that point.
Yeah.
And yes, Bo Nix is a starter. I mean, by default, kind of. At least
so
in my
far
eyes.
In his career.
Yeah, we'll see.
Mark Sanchez was a starter, too.
It's true. Now, we have learned our lesson. We watch these quarterbacks who everyone trashes, and of course, us among them, and then they find ways to revive their career. Like mm-hmm. Baker Mayfield, prime example. Sam Darnold, another prime example. So while it's fun and at the time to go, get out of here, Bo Nix, at some point, if it does go poorly in Denver, who knows in 3 or 4 years after that departure what he becomes. Let's not jump. I guess the thing is quarterbacks have second lives. Sam Darnold had Kevin O'Connor. That's the basketball guy.
Kevin O'Connell,
not O'Connor. So get with the right guy, and your fortunes can change. And okay. Bo Nix feels like he was with the guy who's going to get the best out of him. I just watched him play and go, it's okay. But as far as his James Franklin question, depends on if there's something written in the language that says if you take a TV job, then your money decreases, which I doubt would be part. Any good agent wouldn't allow for that. Does he take a job immediately?
I feel like he could.
He could.
Be a lot of jobs.
I mean,
open.
The Florida job is likely going to be open. That's going to be a major job, and who knows what's the trickle down effect of that? If the Florida job comes open,
Auburn's probably going to come open.
Auburn. But let's say Lane Kiffin goes, "Hey, I've wanted that Florida job." Then the Ole Miss job is open.
Yeah.
And, of course, we know James Franklin has experience coaching in the SEC. The UCLA job, it feels like it will be open, I guess.
No, that's Temp Skippers.
The funny thing is everyone thinks it's Jerry Neuheisel.
Yeah.
Even though he's not even the actual interim coach.
I wonder why.
Yeah. He's the OC. Mm. Well, I'm not playing that game with you.
I am.
I know. I hear it.
I'll do it for you.
I hear it in your tone. But Jerry Neuheisel is the one everyone's mentioning because he's the offensive guru. But he wasn't designated to be the head coach, the interim head coach. That was Tim Skipper. So wouldn't the job go to Tim Skipper unless he's not the one who made the decision to hire Jerry Neuheisel, upgrade him. Someone else forced him to do that. So that's the UCLA job could be open. And, of course, other jobs will pop open depending on how these seasons finish. Lincoln Riley won a game, a big one for him, or that job could have been in question too. Who knows? Although they've invested quite a bit. So James Franklin himself, if he was going by how this show operates, the two people in this show, I'm just taking the money. I wouldn't even do TV. Leave me alone. What do I want to show up? And why would I want to be on Big Noon Kickoff and likely get berated by Big Ten fans as I make my way onto their campus? Nah, I'm good. I got my money.
Yeah. I think maybe we'll do that tomorrow. But I just want to pour one out for one of our great take wins. About James Franklin.
The Drew Aller, James Franklin combo on Saturday/Sunday.
It's going to be tough watching football, not being proven right about that guy 3 times a year. I feel like he can take any, like most of these jobs, like they should not turn their nose up at James Franklin. Like if he wants one of these jobs, he can get it.
Yes. Now, Penn State, of course, decided that after making the college football semifinal, that this start to their season was something that they could not stomach, so he had to go.
Yeah, because they brought everyone back.
Yeah. Like, now, the question is, should a bad year combined with, of course, the history of not winning these big games, should that have been enough to get rid of James Franklin if you're Penn State? If you think about Penn State in the last 30-plus years, it is the end of the Joe Paterno era, which wasn't leading to any national titles even before the scandal took place. That was a perennial, Penn State.
Yeah, 9-ish,
8-ish. Maybe they'll get off to a good start, but because Joe Pa and the recruiting there wasn't up to the standards of title contenders, they were never a real contender past like 1 year with LeVar Arrington when they were the number one team in the country to start the year, or maybe number two, and they fell off predictably. So he has taken them to a point where we're having conversations, and they are at the top of the rankings. They were the number two team in the country in the AP to start the year. So can Penn State get better? I mean, I would say the chances of them hiring a better coach and getting the results that they got, even if we incorporate all the frustrating losses, it's not high, but they're not willing to settle for, hey, we're pretty good, but we're never going to get to the top. And if they've got the money to do it, who's to say they shouldn't?
Yeah, and at a certain point, it's just like, it's untenable with the fan base. Of just like, the fan base is already so turned against them. So much so that I saw a video where walking off the field on Saturday, he meets up with his family in the tunnel, or like before they go to the tunnel, and tells them to go ahead of him. And then they go ahead. He just kind of stands there and waits. And then he goes under the tunnel, and people are just yelling terrible things at James Franklin. And it's like, no, if it's so bad that you're like, I cannot walk with my family off the field because they would be subjected to hearing their husband or dad called these things. Like, it's a pretty bad situation. Never mind just like having to live in small town Pennsylvania with all this going on. Like, it just had to. Like, especially after the Northwestern loss, like, it had to happen, whether at the end of the season or yesterday. Like, there's just no bouncing back from it. Because it wasn't just that they made the Final Four of last year. They brought everyone back. And they invested
in the portal, yeah, at wide receiver.
In theory, improved at defensive coordinator, bringing in Jim Knowles. Like, they made the Ohio State moves from last year. Not quite to the same level, but pretty close to what Ohio State did last year, where they had a bunch of guys on defense that could have gone pro. They all come back. They go out. They supplement the portal, and they end up winning the national championship. Penn State, they're 3-3 in October.
Yeah, the Oregon loss, while understandable because of the – well, we'll get into Oregon, I guess, at some point, and their loss to Indiana. But understandable because of the quality of opponent, even though you're at home and people are sick and tired of losing these games. Okay, you lose that one. That's disappointing. You feel like you got a bit of a breather against UCLA. You don't win that one. Three-touchdown-plus favorite. Another time you're a three-touchdown-plus favorite and lose, and they had seen enough.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's also these last two games, like after the Oregon game. Like, that to me means, like, the players also.
And, you know,
threw in the towel.
The Oregon game's results sucks for them, but if they win that game, if they win the last two, which they're expected to do easily, they're still in the playoff picture.
Yeah.
But they chucked the season away, and that led to James Franklin's firing. Yeah, I do respect them for not using the family as a meat shield. Like, having them maybe
because I don't think it would work.
Yeah, probably not. Probably not. But some guys will walk with the family, yeah, and then yeah, they'll get berated, and then it's like, hey, don't yell at my family, which is right for them to say. But he knows, he understands where the fan base is, so you just let the family get out ahead
but
of it.
Like, when you're and you bring it on to yourself home, like, come on. Like,
yeah, there's not a lot to do. Penn State could have rode it out for another year,
almost a decade. Like, no, he's been there for over a decade.
Yeah.
Bill O'Brien was the coach at Penn State before James Franklin. It's crazy to think about.
He had Trace McSorley and Saquon back way back when. How long has Saquon now been in the league? So
yeah.
Kind of jumped off his career there at Penn State when they beat Ohio State on like a block field goal. Kind of
that's the one. He's 10-1 against Ohio State, and the one they won because of the block.
And
field
if they
goal.
Don't win that one, that might. He might have ended his career that season.
Yeah.
I think they went on to make the Rose Bowl. They played USC in that game.
They played Sam Darnold.
Yeah. All right, Eric, we see you. We'll get to you when we come back. If you want to follow him, 713-780-3776. But before we do any of that, Sean's going to tell you about Prize Picks.
Yes, Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app. And it's Monday Night Football. That means time for some Prize Picks on a Monday night. We have two Monday night games. Thank you, NFL, for doubling the love on that one and giving us more opportunities to make a little bit of money. Bijan Robinson, more 32.5 receiving yards. He's honestly more of a threat receiving out of the backfield, or at least as much of a threat receiving out of the backfield as he is getting the ball handed off to him. Obviously, with the Buffalo Bills. With Penix going up against the Buffalo Bills, going to be some dump-off opportunities, and Bijan Robinson makes a guy miss, and hey, you're getting more than 32.5 yards receiving. Staying with the receiving yards, but going to the other Monday night game, Bears and Commanders, Rome Odunze. Give me more. 66.5 receiving yards for Rome Odunze, quietly becoming the top receiver in Chicago, maybe leading to an exit for DJ Moore. I think that continues tonight against the Commanders. And one more, got to do the field goals. Got to do the combined made field goals for Matt Gay and Cairo Santos in the Washington Chicago game. More than 3.5 combined field goals made. You can make your own picks. You can follow mine. Whatever you want. Prize Picks. Download the app today. Use promo code MAPES when you sign up to get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES on Prize Picks to get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right.
This is ESPN 97.5.
Listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
All right, let's get to Eric here. Keep doing what I have decided to do when Eric calls. I'm going to write it all out because I want to get to everything he mentions and at least three times a week when he calls, I always forget at least one of his things. So let's get to Eric here. What's up, Eric?
Hey guys, to start David's season by beating Oklahoma, and if he beats A&M, is he going to stay? Or if he loses, will James Franklin take over at Texas? And also, is Tua out as the Dolphins quarterback and Mike McDaniel? Because what he did the other yesterday, throwing his teammates under the bus out in public, I don't think he's going to stay there that long. I'll hang up and listen.
It's only two, so this will be easy. Did Sark save a season? I mean, you made it sound like he saved his tenure at Texas. I think he was.
Last week, people were pairing up Texas and Penn State a lot.
Yeah, okay.
And Penn State lost. Their coach gets fired. Texas wins.
Yeah, but Sark.
No, he was not. Sark's gonna get fired.
Sark has a more recent run of big wins than Franklin. Franklin has maybe the Ohio State game.
They both got to the semifinals last year.
That's true, but Sark has done it twice in a row and has won in the SEC, not Georgia per se. But he's beaten Alabama. Franklin doesn't have that. He got to a semifinal.
They both got
beating Boise and SMU. It ain't the same.
Yeah, and it's year 5 of Sarkisian, year 10 or 11 of
Franklin. The energy
people
is different.
People are just more sick of the same result.
Now, they need it. Now, Texas needed that one.
Yes.
And Arch needed it. Sark needed it. But as far as tenure, I don't think he would have been on the hot seat if he lost that game. We would have had a down year for Texas at this point, considering what the standard is for them. But I think he would have been fine. Does he have to make a playoff, I guess, is what you're setting up, beating A&M to end the season? I don't know if he's there. I think he's got some goodwill. If this season doesn't play out the way it was supposed to, you know, as the number one team in the country, those conversations will start to bubble up afterwards. But I don't know that anything could be done outside of a non-football related scandal.
Yeah,
that could put Sark's job in any real jeopardy. He's over it. It's happened. He's learned from it. Sean is referencing a time where Sark had a little trouble, had some Mark Sanchez type trouble with alcohol. Yeah, now he didn't beat up anyone,
no.
But he just had some issues, and of course it led to his firing at USC. Also, not winning enough, that didn't help his cause either.
That really didn't help.
I think what we're saying is college football administrators will accept a drunk or an alcoholic if you want to be kinder. If you win games. Sark wasn't winning enough games. he had the issues off the field, and that led to the firing. As far as Tua is concerned, if you missed it, in fact, I think we have the sound over there. After the game where the Dolphins fell to 1-5, in a game where if you don't watch it, you see that Tua threw three picks, and you're like, what's he talking about? He threw three picks. Well, the first one, Jalen Waddle bobbled into another guy's hands. The second one, yes, that was on him. And then he was asked about it, said just threw a bad ball. The third one was desperation, 5 seconds left after the Chargers had come back to take the lead, and he just had to get the ball out of his hands. Of course, Derwin James, I believe, picked it off. But in between all that, the Dolphins are down 13, and he led two touchdown drives. In fact, he threw a touchdown with 46 seconds to go to Darren Waller, which would have been the game winner, except it wasn't. So the Dolphins lose, and Tua, when asked about certain things, got to this, and this is what Eric's talking about.
Well, I think it starts with the leadership in helping articulate that for the guys, and then what we're expecting out of the guys, right? We're expecting this. Are we getting that? Are we not getting that? We have guys showing up to player-only meetings late. Guys not showing up to player-only meetings. Like, there's a lot that goes into that. Do we have to make this mandatory? Do we not have to make this mandatory? So it's a lot of things of that nature that we got to get cleaned up, and it starts with the little things like that.
To be clear, you're saying some players were late or missed?
Late, yeah.
So it was cleared up by a local reporter, Bear Jackson, that when he says player-only meetings, he doesn't mean the typical ones we think of. Well, we're 1-4. Everyone's got to get together, and we have to find a way to get this done. What he was talking about is like position group meetings, like the players after practice, after a workout. They'll get together and talk about the nuances of a play. They'll talk about, hey, when I see this, what do you see? Stuff like that. It's not, hey, not a come to Jesus meeting. They're not having one of those every week. They're having, as I said, players only meetings. In fact, some of the defensive players said they like the coaches in them so they can kind of give their thoughts on the things that the players are saying. So that's what he meant. As far as does he go? He's got another large cap hit in 2026. So he is going to be the starter.
I think everyone else changes. But I think, obviously, coach changes.
He is the starter by default because of the contract in 2026, and then they can get out of it. So whether they draft a quarterback because they're in a position to, that's a different question. Who knows? Depending, we never know who a guy in charge will like.
They already drafted a quarterback, by the way.
Yeah, I did see Dez Bryant who called Tua out for the finger pointing and saying, "Hey,
Marino.
Four fingers are pointing back at you. You threw three picks." And of course, as I said, if you actually watch the game, because in the context of those three picks, you would say one of them is his fault. But whatever, the numbers are the numbers. He's saying Dez Bryant said Quinn Ewers is just waiting in the wings.
Yeah. Next Marino is what he said.
He's more like the next Jay Fiedler.
Oh.
Jay Fiedler won a playoff game. In fact, he was a quarterback the last time they won the playoffs. Won in the playoffs. But Quinn Ewers doesn't have the level of talent that Dan Marino had. Yeah. I mean, even just physical tools, he doesn't have them. So cut Pennington? It out, Dez. Does he have a stronger arm than Chad Pennington? I mean, this version, the current one, not the one who played in the late 90s and aughts. Pennington and Quinn Ewers got on the field at the same time, and you give Chad Pennington like a week and a half to get the arm back?
Okay,
who would throw a football harder? It's tough to say. I saw Quinn Ewers
on the speed gun.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's the exit velo for those two gentlemen? We'll talk about exit velo because the Astros were trash in that regard and didn't have a lot of hard hit balls. So we'll get to that in a little bit. But I think Tua will be back mostly by default.
Yeah, to me, it's everything around him changes. And
the coach.
Probably one more ride. Like, whatever coach they hire will probably be like, we'll get the job based off, I am the man to.
Like Mike McDaniel did?
Get this right, yes. Yeah. And in a perfect world, you would be able to also get rid of Tua, but you can't. So you have to be the guy who goes, I will fix this guy. Basically, it's Brian Daboll. I will fix Daniel Jones. And then you fix him. And then, or at least for 1 year, you get good results. And then after the first year with bad results, he goes, actually, can I get my own guy in here?
Yeah.
And then to at Leafs. And that's probably how this is
going
to go.
It's going to be a giant undertaking for whoever the GM will be because of how bad that defensive roster is.
That has to change as well.
They've had a lead or tied in four of the five losses this year in the fourth quarter. And as much as it will fall on the quarterback, as it always does, he left the field yesterday with a two-point lead. No, with 1 point lead with 46 seconds ago, and the special teams and defense couldn't get it done. And the Chargers had one timeout. So, Jalen Phillips, you get Herbert on the ground, you probably win. So, Eric brought it up because of the comments. But if your defense shows any modicum of respectability, have some dignity, defense, and make a play.
Not respect for the game or respect for your opponent.
For yourself.
Respect for yourself, Jalen Phillips.
Yeah, if you get Herbert on the ground, you probably win it, and this conversation doesn't take place.
All those DBs letting Ladd McConkey outrun you.
Yeah, so there it is. So it's the quarterback's job to take the brunt of it, and that's what the money's for. But there are bigger problems, and that's really the problem. There are much bigger problems on that team than the depending on the day, average to above average quarterback play. All right, we'll go to break with that. Nothing like using the entire afternoon to avoid the Dolphins than Eric bringing them up. You know what
that's
I did?
What Eric does.
After that game,
Eric does.
After that game, I just started.
Wait for the Canes to lose.
I know. I just started watching movies and television shows.
At 10:01, you'll get a call.
I bet. Well, this is the guy who keeps putting them in the national title game way before.
Yeah, but then when they lose, the coach gets fired.
I'm not even the one who says it. I'm not the one who says they're going to be in the title game. He does, and now I got to deal with him if they lose.
I believe you said the U is back, actually.
Yeah, can't wait for them to lose on Friday and him calling in on Monday about right at 10:05. All right, we'll go to break with that. Hour one is over. If you want to pick at a wound that I have, you're more than welcome. 713-780-3776. Or you'd like to keep it on the teams locally, which I would like to do. We can do that as well. So we also have tickets to give away to the Cougs. Speaking of a local team, they bounce back and beat Oklahoma State. Demolish Oklahoma State, particularly in that second half. They are now, I won't say a threat to win the Big 12, because I think the only team that's a real threat is the team in Lubbock, and they took apart Kansas. But they're still in the race to make that title game. So if you want to root on the Cougs, listen to us. We'll give you a chance to watch them against Noah Fifita and the Arizona Wildcats. We'll do that in the second hour. And that's coming up when we get back.